Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Today, we're speaking with Judy Hanover, Research Director at IDC Health Insights, who recently co-authored a predictions paper and can offer her thoughts on how meaningful use will affect IT pros in 2012. Thank you for joining us today, Judy.
Thanks, Don.
So, where are healthcare providers with implementing meaningful use so far? Have they found it to be a big drain on financial or IT resources?
Meaningful use is definitely taking up a lot of providers' time. It's a drain because of the timing of the incentives. It's a drain on both financial and IT resources. And, of course, many providers will spend more money to implement meaningful use than they'll receive in incentives. Most providers are either at stage one or in the process of building systems that will help them get to stage one. As we've seen in the news, as of last November, there have been almost $2 billion in incentives distributed. So many providers are fairly far along and have managed phase one. I think there's a lot of anxiety about stage two and what it will involve. But most providers have started with phase one and are moving down the path.
So as far as meaningful use in 2012, I know there was a little bit of change in the schedule that was announced last year by the ONC. Do you think implementation will slow down, or will we see a lot more providers jump into the EHR incentive program this year, do you think?
The delay took the pressure off some providers to implement, but it also, for providers who had gone quickly and who were early adopters of the technology, I think it was a little disappointing in some respects. But I think providers, you know, with a little bit more time, they'll be able to accomplish more. We expect to see about 80% of providers implement and attempt to get to meaningful use. So it's moving along fairly well. The penalties, if providers don't implement, are fairly significant. So most of the providers we see who aren't proceeding are those who plan to retire or leave their practices before the penalties are put in place.
So you touched on early adopters a little bit earlier, and there are always early adopters who want to be on top of everything technology-wise. What will these people be doing to prepare for stage two once those proposed criteria are supposedly announced next month?
I think it'll depend on what the final criteria actually are. In terms of what providers do, if they've already demonstrated phase one, it means a lot more. It's clear that it will likely mean a lot more implementation and use, actual adoption of the technology as they go into a larger proportion of their providers using the technology.
So do you think stage two will require new software for healthcare providers, or is it more a matter of leveraging more features of the software that's already on their networks?
I think there'll be some enhancements required, some upgrades required to existing software, but I think that the majority of the phase two requirements will be around increasing the depth of adoption of the technologies put in place in phase one.
And this whole matter of ICD-10 implementation coming down the pike, does ICD-10 touch meaningful use? How do they intermingle from an implementation standpoint, or are they really separate technology animals?
They're separate and connected at the same time. ICD-10, because the codes are much more detailed, requires much more clinical documentation for billers to code their bills accurately. Because of that, putting in place electronic health records that those billers can access in order to get more information and select the proper code for a service will be important, so that electronic documentation makes the medical record ubiquitous and allows more access to it. It also automates the process if there isn't enough detail in the record for coders to proceed. It allows them to automate the process of getting more information, asking for clarification from the providers. So because they'll have that record more quickly, because it's available electronically, they'll be able to get back to a provider and ask for more information while a case is still fresh on their mind. That'll help to ease the clinical documentation burden of ICD-10. The actual codes generally require updating of the practice management or revenue cycle management system in a practice or hospital. For many providers with outdated software for practice management or revenue cycle management, they may choose to upgrade those systems. And it makes sense in many cases to do that at the same time as they're implementing EHR or to coordinate those processes, because there are so many benefits associated, particularly in the ambulatory setting, to having close integration between practice management and EHR. So there's the issue of clinical documentation, which will be a lot more, it will ease. I think there'll still be some major hurdles for providers to code in ICD-10, but having documentation available electronically and using the EHR that we've put in as fundamental technologies for meaningful use will ease that transition.
Well, your predictions article brought up this interesting notion that's on a lot of physician and hospital CIO's mind, that it's likely there's going to be some EHR vendor consolidation in the upcoming year. So where does that leave providers who get meaningful use dollars or are planning to, but their vendor gets bought out by another vendor?
That can be a very difficult situation. There's the number of vendors in the market right now is unsustainable in the long term. As providers continue to implement meaningful use, the adoption is quite rapid. But because the incentives are so valuable, we do expect the market to implement very rapidly and go to a 70 to 80% penetration by the 2015-2016 period. Well, in the short term, there's enough new business for many vendors to be successful. In the long term, there are fewer new adopters purchasing EHR systems, the new business will dry up and the market won't be able to sustain so many vendors. So we do expect to see vendor consolidation in many cases. I do see it starting to happen as we get to the end of phase one. I think a lot of vendors that haven't managed to capture market share during the meaningful use implementation period will, be absorbed by other vendors. Some will fail. Some will leave the space. So there are risks when providers select EHRs of having their vendors bought by another vendor. They should do their due diligence, choose a EHR provider that both provides them the functionality that they need and is also financially stable, and, preferably one with at least some pedigree or history in the market.
Mm-hmm. So meaningful use requires that a physician or a hospital use an ONC-certified vendor. Do you think the EHR vendor is more vulnerable to going out of business or being bought up by another vendor? Are the ones that couldn't make certification, or is that sort of a factor that really doesn't play into it?
Well, most of the major players in the EHR space are certified. I don't know of a lot of, there's over 450, the last time I looked at it, vendors with components or complete systems that are certified. So it is most of the vendors who are in the market do have that certification. I think if they're not able to get certified or get to that point, that will be a death knell when we hit the phase one deadlines, because those customers will need to adopt a system that's certified in order to capture the incentives.
Right. And the prediction piece also went on to say that a lot of physicians will be running an EHR by the end of the year. Will most of those be in the EHR incentive program? And who isn't joining the EHR incentive program? You had mentioned physicians who were planning to retire. Is that pretty much the lion's share of it, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know of any physicians who have invested in EHR, but don't plan to apply if they are eligible for the incentives. In some cases, when we've done studies with providers and asked them about their rationale if they've chosen not to participate, and it is a very small percentage that don't have the intention to participate, it's usually because they're reaching the end of their their practice is, you know, probably going to, they're not going to be practicing when the penalties go into place, or they're following a path where, you know, they're planning on merging or collaborating with another provider.
Yeah. Well, this is all interesting stuff. Do you have any other thoughts or anything to say in sum about what is going on in meaningful use in 2012?
Yeah, I mean, I think meaningful use is, you know, very much here and now, but I think providers should be looking forward into what they'll need to deliver accountable care. The meaningful use technologies, you know, as they are planned, do lay the foundation for that, but the focus is, you know, increasingly on outcomes and value-based reimbursement, and providers should look at, you know, how they'll prepare for that market and how they'll be able to optimize their delivery to achieve those incentives in the future, and build, you know, EHR infrastructure that allows them to run the analytics and the tools for care management that they'll need to participate in accountable care while also satisfying the meaningful use requirements.
Right, and sort of the idea I get from talking to, you know, some vendors and CIOs out there in the healthcare world is that meaningful use is sort of a drop in the bucket, you know, compared to the analytics requirements and clinical decision support and things like that, that these accountable care organizations or, you know, private incentive programs that sort of mirror it will require. I mean, is that what you've been finding in your research as well?
It's a good start, but it is, I would say, you know, drop in the bucket is probably a good characterization. They'll need to get much more sophisticated in terms of being able to capture clinical data, manage it, access it for analytics, and really start to, you know, use those decision support tools that they're putting in place for meaningful use to drive interventions at the point of care that'll help them to meet their cost and quality goals for healthcare reform.
Yeah. Well, I think that pretty much covers it for today. Thanks a lot for your time and updating us on meaningful use. You can bet we'll be in touch sometime down the road for another update.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.